Hi, Stefanetta. Recording in progress.
Hey, Lynn.
Yeah.
Did you see the note from Janice in the chat?
Oh, no, I didn't.
She says she's locked out of the Shields Carden room.
Oh.
Yeah, I had to come on.
Well, this is about the
Well,
one.
that door got, yeah, that got the, we'll find her. The stopper got bumped out as it usually does.
Thank you. I'm in the main area in the front.
Oh, I see. Okay. Leon is going to come out. Thank you for letting us know.
No problem. Thank you.
There's online. We have to vote him in, right?
Yes,
Is
and
anybody
Joe
else
is
on?
coming, but he's going to be late. And the water is lukewarm. I'm sorry.
The water bottles? Oh, okay. What about John or Kyle?
Oh, I haven't heard from Kyle. But John's
John
coming.
definitely heard from, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are the most comfortable chairs out there. Yeah, you could
My chair
stay.
is more comfortable than yours.
I feel like we're pen pals. It's good, right? It's good to see you in person.
All right, I guess we should start, and then those who are late will just get here when they get here.
All right, I will now call to order this evening's meeting of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, Wednesday, April 30th, 2025, 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Brookins Administrative Building, Urbana, Illinois. May I have a roll call?
John Paul Joachim. Chris Miner.
Here.
Tony Nichols.
Here.
Joe Omosagie. Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Kyle Patterson. Emily Rodriguez.
Here.
Jane Sprandel.
Here.
Molly McClay.
Here. Thank you very much. We do have a quorum, and we have a board member who has an approved reason to be online this evening. So I would like to entertain a motion to... I'll just make a motion to permit our board member, Chris Miner, to participate via Zoom. Can I get a second?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you very much. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of allowing Chris Miner to participate via Zoom, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Ayes have it. Motion is approved. Next, we will move to approve the agenda. Any discussion on the agenda or motions?
I want to share the agenda on the screen for folks. Sorry.
If there are no amendments, I will make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
I will second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda as presented, say aye. All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. Next, we have the MHB and DDB schedules and an updated MHB timeline on pages 3 through 7 of the packet. No action is needed, but is there any update? Are there any updates of note on this, Lynn?
No, we had actually booked May 7 just in case you needed more time, but I didn't put it on the schedule and then I forgot about it. So hopefully we won't need more time. But you can always call a special meeting if you do.
Okay. All right, good to know. Next, we will move to the CCMHB acronyms and glossary on pages 8 through 19. Any adjustments there or any discussion? All right, seeing none, we will next move on to public participation agency input. as always, members of our community are invited to come speak to the Mental Health Board and share their thoughts with us. We do not respond directly, but we may use input to inform future actions. I also want to mention that agency representatives and others providing input should be aware of the Illinois Lobbyist Registration Act and take appropriate steps to be in compliance. I also want to mention that for agencies who are here to speak about their special requests regarding audit issues, there will be a designated portion of the meeting for you to speak. So I just wanted to notify of that. So if you are interested in speaking with us, you can either come forward to the podium or raise your hand on Zoom or put something in the chat. I may limit time to 5 minutes per person or 20 minutes total. With that, is there anybody who would like to speak with us? Sure, go ahead.
Okay, hi. I'm Janice Mitchell. I'm the executive director for Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center.
And I know we have only 5 minutes, so I will tell you that I did bring a packet if anybody would like to look at it at their own leisure, but it just contains extensive evidence and proof of our work to try to get another auditor narrowed down after 7 months of no communication from our previous auditor in Springfield. So we did recently narrow down and get engagement letter from an auditor, Pettit CPAs, Pettit and Company CPAs, and they have agreed to take us on, and they are already starting the process of working on our audit for fiscal year 2024. So that was my big ask, was that in consideration for all of the work that we do, all of the work that we have done, and, you know, considerably the size of our organization and our need for funding to support the youth that we support, that you all would take this into consideration. And again, it's a lot. It's every email that was sent. It's every phone call that was made across the state and across state lines to different auditors to try to narrow one down and to secure one. So, again, I'm more than happy to pass this to anybody if you'd like to see that. Also included is the form that I submitted to you all and some other documentation for your reference. So that's it. I just wanted to again state that we have narrowed down an auditor who has already began working on our fiscal year 24 audit. It has been a lot of work, but we're there. We're kind of at the cusp of having that part of the process finished. And so I just ask for your consideration, your human kindness, and just, you know, taking that into your thoughts in the process of whether you would give us an extension that we've requested.
All right, thank you very much. We can't respond during this part of the meeting, but the board members may have questions for you later when we get to that portion.
Sure.
Thank you. All right, I just wanted to make a reminder that agency representatives who are here to discuss audits, we do have a portion of the meeting set aside to do that. So given that, is there anybody else who would like to speak with the board?
Hi, this is Bethany Little with Wynn Recovery. I wanted to speak in regards to the audit as well. I can acknowledge that this has been a process for us every year. So I do want to acknowledge that we've had issues with this every year. Partly this year, it's been more of our audit and our accountant. Our audit, our organization has grown tremendously in the last 2, 3, 4 years. And so this year we actually outright purchased 2 properties and as well as had federal funding. And so our accountant wasn't prepared or didn't really know the ins and outs of what it was that she needed to report in certain parts of our audit. And so it took a tremendous longer time than what we expected. It's actually been final. It's supposed to be finalized. It's supposed to be today, but it'll be tomorrow morning. And my board will vote on it by Friday. They've committed. And so as of Monday business day, Lynn would have that. So I am requesting a extension. But I am one of those people, I take full responsibility of it being late. And so I apologize. I know that there's been some talk about putting some things in place so we don't continuously go through that. And I'm so welcome to being able to look at next year and get a process in place so this won't happen again. So I just want consideration for that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, we cannot respond at this portion of the meeting, but there will be a time later in the meeting where the board may have follow-up questions. With that, is there anyone else who would like to share public comment with us? Anyone on Zoom? All right. Seeing none, we will next move on. There will be another portion for public comment during the meeting and at the end of the meeting, as well as for agencies to respond to our questions momentarily. So next is chairperson's comments. I am Molly McClay, the chair of the board, and I will be deferring my comments this evening because we have a packed agenda. So next we have Executive Director Lynn Canfield's comments.
I was going to defer the comments, but I want to just point out that we reorganized the order of items tonight so that you could get through the most difficult and urgent things first, and then the fun things, the really fun things are at the end where my comments could be added if we've, you know, if we're going on 3 hours and we're still into it. So, okay, that's it.
All right, thank you very much. So next we will move on to new business, and our first item of new business are the agency requests for consideration. So you can find this information on pages 20 through 59 of the packet. We have a decision memorandum offering context and possible actions for the board to take in response to attached special requests from agencies, and our action is needed. So I wanted to, before we open discussion from the board and ask agency questions, I wanted to set the stage for this discussion and make a few points. So this evening we will be discussing the impacts of late PY 2024 audits on current contracts, continuing contracts, and funding applications. In this case, late audits refers to any audit that was not in by the end of our grace period before contract cancellation, which is March 31st, 2025. For context, agencies had from the end of PY 2024 or the beginning of PY 2025, July 1st, had 9 months to complete these audits. I want to add a few things. First, as chair, I am the only person who can designate non-board members to speak. If you have, so board members, if you have a question for an agency representative, please ask me to designate said person to speak, and I will do so. This is to help keep things moving and acknowledge that sometimes the most appropriate time point for us to designate an agency rep or a staff member is not in the middle of a thought. And we've had some interruptions in prior meetings from people who weren't called upon, so I really like everybody to respect that this evening. I also want to ask that agency representatives wait to be designated as well and not interrupt in person or on Zoom unless I call upon you. We have asked you to be here in case we have questions, but it's not a guarantee that we will have any tonight. You have provided information that we have all reviewed, and that may be enough. But we may have questions, and we do appreciate your presence here nonetheless. The second thing is that we have probably the most complex set of actions and motions that we've had since at least I've been on the board. And Lynn, and we have several types of items. We have like 8 different things to vote on and 3 different possible motions for each thing that Lynn, especially Lynn and I, and maybe others, have helped to craft. These motions encapsulate most actions the board may wish to take, and I would like to ask you to please consider the possible motions that have been listed before amending any. We may need to make some amendments if we want to add dates, but for the most part, these 3 actions encapsulate most of the things we might do. So that said, this evening we have 2 sets of situations. We have 3 agencies whose audits are still outstanding as of today. These are Immigrant Services of CU, Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center, and Wind Recovery. Then we have 2 agencies whose audits have been turned in the last few days, but are still past the end of the grace period and considered late, and are still undergoing staff sort of resolution of issues. And these are Champaign County Christian Health Center and First Followers. So I'd like to encourage us to consider combining motions for agencies of the same type when it might be appropriate. So specifically, if there's a preference to defer contract cancellations or defer consideration of funding requests, for example, for agencies whose audits are still outstanding, we could do this as a combined motion. So please consider that. This is primarily to board members. If we do something like this, we also have to consider if that means we will also defer discussion of those applications tonight if we defer that to another time. We also have the option to limit debate for specific motions or for the entire discussion. So you might want to consider this as well, making motions regarding that. And we will be taking a roll call vote for every motion in this section, since it involves financials, just out of an abundance of caution. So with that, I would like to start by having Lynn briefly walk us through the sections of the memo, and then I'll open us up for general debate, in which combined motions, debate time limits, or any movement toward a specific request can begin. Before Lynn starts, does anyone on the board have any questions? All right, thank you very much. Lynn, take it away.
So here, I'm going to show it. So my specialty is making as many pages as possible about things that could be simple. So I think I really succeeded here. The simple part is the agencies used a new form that we developed for this purpose. They have been asking staff through a form for extensions of deadlines, which like related to the quarterly reports, and that's worked really well, and the form worked really well, and these guys all used our brand new form for the first time, and as always, I learned about a deficiency in the form. But they provided good information anyway, and I think everyone has seen that information. It's in the board packet. Dr. Janice Mitchell, not Marlon Mitchell, provided me with a whole lot of information, the packet that she's had early on, and then we decided together to trim it down to just the happy news at the end and the initial request. So those are where it starts, but I've learned in the last couple of years that if I don't give you some kind of context memo before you're dealing with the requests, then you have to figure out a whole lot of stuff. You have to get some background information and craft motions or reject motions that I come up with. So I'm not going to leave you hanging in the future when you have a special request from an agency. So I was trying to do that here. The request might be simple, but they could end up having really complex answers. The purpose section kind of goes into why the audits are important to us, like what we actually do with them, what we understand from them. And then there's some history as we've adjusted the funding requirements and we've tried different supports because we understand some of the reasons that audits are hard to complete on time. And then there's a little bit of background on the last couple of years. There's background on how we've changed the requirements and where we're at right now and some of the key things that you can find in the requirements. And then starting in January, the update on just audits which were late this year, which we didn't have by December 31. Just as context, many of these situations have been resolved, and then we tried to provide in the history of delays section any information about historically what has happened and then what they did about it this year. I was using alphabetical order, but then thanks to a suggestion, I put the resolved ones first. So you can see how some of the ways people solve these problems. And then we have the ones that are currently outstanding are grouped alphabetically after that, as are their special requests. So that history could be helpful as far as like if you do eventually choose to, you're not asked today to decide about future funding requests. That's not what's on the table. But in the future, if you did want a contract, some of these points might help us create requirements within a contract to support more timely reporting. So then there's a section about next steps that which include, you know, approaching this directly to the specific request per agency, or with I also added something in here like if you also want to give guidance to staff, to us generally, about looking for another solution, whether we've tried it before and it didn't work for whatever reason, or it's something maybe we could get a better understanding directly from the agencies about what will help them. You know, you're invited to give us that direction anytime, certainly today if it's on your heart. And then we tried to group together the specific requests and what they mean. And really, like, the request related to the applications for funding for PY26 is really just, today it's really just, since there's no audit, do you want to keep reviewing them? We staff reviewed those applications per your earlier instructions about those about the audit situation. We finished that, but now you can decide if you'll continue to review them. So maybe doesn't look that simple, but it really is that simple. And so your decision process, I understand, will not be simple, but just to kind of split it, the issues around continuing contracts may actually be more complicated. I think that's all the notes that I took. You're not awarding any money tonight other than potentially restarting contracts, which could stop as of April 1st. And then, as Molly said, she spent a lot of time working with me on all kinds of possible options. As always, you can modify or reject them, but I'll hand it back to you. And I might take this off the screen for y'all to talk, okay, unless you want to see the specific agency requests.
We maybe just leave it up for now, and then if board members want to have it scrolled to specific parts, we can do that.
Possible board action.
Yeah, that works. All right, thank you very much. So I just want to say two more things before I stop talking and we open for our discussion. So there, as you can see in the possible motions, for agencies in which they are up for contract cancellation due to the audit being late, the options are to continue to continue contracts withholding payments until the audit is submitted and the issues dealt with. There's an option to cancel the contract and only release the January, February, March payments when the audit is resolved, or to defer a decision on whether to continue or cancel the contracts until the audit is here. So those are essentially the three types. For the funding application requests, the three types are to consider the request, which would means we would discuss it tonight, to deny consideration of the request, which means we would not, or to defer consideration of the request until the audit is resolved, which could take the shape of us going ahead and discussing tonight or not. We have to work that out, but that's not necessarily part of the vote. So I just wanted to explain those very briefly. And the specific motions are on pages 27 to 29. So the other thing I want to say is this process of having kind of all of these different items that we have to discuss regarding the audits has made a few things very clear to me about why we have the deadline we do. And this is not in the memo, although I kind of wanted it to be thought about it being there. I sort of came up with four reasons. The first is we need the audit to know if money is owed back to us at the very least, and if an agency is safe to fund going forward. Number two, because in order to be eligible for funding in the future, the audit must be complete. And we also want to know if it's safe funding in the future. The third reason is because delaying the audit deadline poses an undue burden on both the staff and the board, as evidenced by the many meetings we have had about this and the amount of discussions and time that have gone into having these conversations. And the fourth is, and this is not an exclusive list, obviously, because we need to protect the fund from threats by those who may think mental health services are wasteful and not scrutinized for financial accountability. And of course, we may have other reasons that we can discuss, but I wanted to say that. So with that, I would like to open the discussion to board members, considering general discussion, possible combined motions, time limits to consider, et cetera. Are there any board members who'd like to share? Chris Miner has raised his hand.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and put my piece in, since I probably won't be here when any voting actually happens on this. Last year, I was kind of the hothead and wanted to stop funding for a lot of people because you have a job to do as an organization that we fund, and that's provide the audits. But being somebody who's been incarcerated knows a lot about punitive measures and punishments, punishment doesn't make people respond to things better, and they're not going to begin to respond to audits quicker. Plus, if we restrict funding to these organizations, we're not so much hurting them as we're hurting the people they serve. And I think all these organizations do well at serving people. I do want to ask, is there any organizations on this list that don't have a representative here tonight?
Everyone is here.
Okay, because I was going to say, if nobody came, well, then you're not included in what I'm saying. So, yeah, I know we're going to have a discussion. I'd like to fast forward through it because my take is this. If I'm not here to make an official plea on it, I would like to actually continue. But we can't continue this forever. We have to have a solid date, and we have to put our foot down and say, past that date, we can't help you anymore. I am scared if that date is after, which hopefully it won't be, we do consideration for the next year's funding. But I don't want to discuss funding for organizations until they have that audit in. No ifs, ands, or buts. Actually, I shouldn't say no ifs, ands, or buts, because there's always some kind of situation where we can work with people, because that's what we do. If we were computers that just spat out, you know, took an information and said yes or no, we wouldn't even need to have board members here. So hopefully everything I said, I articulated pretty well. Please, I hope we do not hurt any organizations tonight. I don't think that we will. But please, we got to get these audits in. It causes problems from the bottom on up, and we as board members hear about the problems it causes. Plus, it kind of concerns us of where you're at with audits for your other funders, especially if they're federal funders or something like that, because there could be some problems coming from federal funding. But I'm not really aware of where else you get your money. So I'm going to go ahead and leave it at that, and hopefully everybody can be halfway sympathetic. But then again, if someone says, no, we can't do this, I'm not going to be mad at you, because I do understand the situation. That's all.
Thank you, Chris. Go ahead, Emily.
I agree with almost, all of what Mr. Miner said. With that in mind, if we disagree, could we consider the option to consider these as a one motion and set a deferred date? Would that simplify things? Are we ready to have that conversation?
Thank you very much. I would also be in favor of, so since there are kind of two categories, one with whose audits are late but are in now, and two, those whose audits are still not in, we could split those. And at the very least, we could start with a defer date on the ones that are not in, or we could state that we will defer until the audit is in. And once it's in, then we can have the discussion kind of case by case as the audits come in. I would like to open for a little more discussion before we move to make any motion specific to that. Is there anybody else who'd like to share their thoughts on that? Go ahead.
I'm kind of in the philosophy of I'd like to see us defer some of these decisions at this time. I think we've got agencies who are making good headway, but we're not at the finish line yet. So I feel like it's in the best interest of the agency, of the board, and the folks that they serve for us to say we're going to defer a decision of canceling a contract, because that's what we're kind of being asked to do today, is cancel contracts. I would like to see us maybe defer that decision to a specific date, and that might be something that Lynn could give us a better idea of, what would that date possibly look like. And I still stand in the philosophy of, yes, our staff has evaluated the applications and they did a fantastic job, but I don't think we as a board should even evaluate applications if they have not met all the criteria at this time. So I would like to see us possibly defer those decisions until all of their stuff is in, and then if we still have funds and it's still within our decision process, we'll refer or we'll review them at that time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It looks like Elaine wants.
I just want to be clear. We are talking now about three that don't have audits in.
Yes. So
So two of them are not currently being funded by us, right? Immigrant Services and Urbana Neighborhood Connections.
That is correct.
So for WIN Recovery, where are we on? Do they have payments suspended now? Okay, so I wanted to be sure we knew that, and those situations then would continue, and then we would go on and talk about. I like the idea of deferring because I don't see any point in having a discussion about funding till we see what the audits tell us.
A quick point of order. We're having a conversation right now about how we want to vote on these, right? So we're not quite to discussing each individual request.
Right.
So, but we are deciding how we want, if we can, divide up this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
And just to, I guess, summarize, Immigrant Services of CU, Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center, and WIN Recovery are all agencies whose audits are still not here as of this meeting. So we could jointly vote to defer consideration of those until their audits are individually in or to a specific date. And then for WIN Recovery's current contract, we could defer consideration of whether to cancel or continue their contract until their audit is in or until a specific date.
Could we do a straw poll to see if that's the direction that we'd like to go? I know instead of waiting for everybody to chime in.
Yes, but if you could give me some instruction on the straw poll thing a little more. I know we talked about it
before.
Sure.
So you can just basically do a show of thumbs. It's not an official vote, but it does allow us to simplify our conversation because we have an idea of what the consensus is.
All right. So those that are willing to go in this direction with combining these agencies for deferral, just give a thumbs up. Any opposed? All right. It seems like this is a good direction. I guess I will go ahead. I just lost my page with all my motions, though. Are we, I guess, a point of order, are we permitted to just combine the names of the three agencies in a vote, or do we need to just do each one separately?
You could say, like, I propose that we consider these as an omnibus motion. And Kyle, you can yell at me if that's not correct.
I mean, these aren't specific. They're just more, like, recommended, like, motions, not, like, I guess they're not specifically, like, I just lost it again. Yeah. I guess I will propose a motion, and then if it is not correct, then somebody can correct me. So I would like to move to defer consideration of the Immigrant Services of CU, Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center, and WIN Recovery PY 2026 funding requests until the PY 2024 audit reports have been filed by each agency and any related follow-up issues resolved.
I second.
Was that motion correct?
Just to clarify, we're inserting an actual date in there, correct?
So this was to, the motion was to have sort of come back for consideration when each audit comes in, which would allow us to only discuss it when the audit is here rather than a date in the future at which time we'd have to discuss all three and the audits might not even be here.
Cool. And then there'll be a separate motion for the WIN Recovery payments.
Yes. Any more discussion on this motion?
I'm just going to kind of make a clarification that I'm thinking about it, right? So it could be possible, though, that we will continue to evaluate, make decisions for funding for for fiscal year 26. And it's potentially, if a agency does not have in their audit, we may never be able to really evaluate their application because they hadn't met the criteria, and then if they do it after we funded, we could be out of money. Is that correct?
That is correct. It has also happened before in prior years where we have deferred and had run out of money by the time that the audits came in. And I think there may be some even that are still outstanding from that process.
Do we need a roll call vote on the motion?
Yes, I just wanted to see if there's any further discussion. While I also stop clicking on my thing and losing my motions.
Just one last question for clarification. So this doesn't actually punish the other orgs. Like, say, if Wynn has their stuff done in 2 days, then we have, and some, I don't remember the other two orgs, I'm sorry, the pay, you know, I'm at home and I have the paperwork in front of me. They don't get their stuff in for 3 weeks. We still have to wait on, Wynn still has to wait?
No, we would be voting as each individual audit comes in.
Oh, okay. That's so clarification I needed. Back, I didn't mean to cut you off, Molly. Thank you.
It would come back. So if WINS comes in 2 weeks, then at our next meeting in May, we could discuss that one then. Again, we're just deferring consideration about the application. We're not deferring any decision on the application, just the consideration. Lynn, is there something you wanted to add?
No, that was it. Thank you.
All right. I guess one other point of consideration is if we are deferring consideration, does that mean we do not discuss the applications this evening?
I think that would be fine.
To wait on discussing them,
I think
then.
We should wait on discussing.
Because that's what consideration partly means. All right. Well, I think we've, had enough discussion. So with that, the motion on the table is to defer consideration of the Immigrant Services of CU, Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center, and Wynn Recovery PY 2026 funding requests until each individual agency's audit reports have been filed and any related follow-up issues resolved. Can I have a roll call?
John Paul Joachim?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
Tony Nichols?
Yes.
Joe Omoosagie?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Emily Rodriguez?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes. All right, with that, the motion to defer consideration of these three applications has passed. The other area for this discussion is to potentially defer a decision on whether to continue or cancel the Wynn Recovery PY 2025 contracts. Does anyone want to? That one's actually a simple motion that's just in there if anyone would like to make a motion. It's on page 29.
Can I actually talk first? Sure. Okay. Again, I think this kind of goes back to the idea of, you know, this is a service that is obviously much needed, and I hate to say we're going to cancel the contract because it seems like they're getting close to maybe getting their stuff in. So again, I feel like possibly deferring the cancellation. So defer that and continue to withhold payment is kind of what I was thinking.
Any other discussion or motions? Lynn has a question.
Jane, is that consistent with the meaning of the first motion there? Motion to continue the contract withholding payments until the audit is submitted and any follow-up issues resolved, or is it consistent with the third one? To defer the decision on continuing the contract. What it means is that the obligations of the contract would stop as of April 1st if you cancel the contract. So this is why it's so tricky.
Yeah, I think in my head I want to defer and not cancel. So I believe that would be the third one.
All right. Well, I will go ahead and move to defer a decision on whether to cancel or continue or cancel the Wind Recovery PY 2025 contract as of March 31st, 2025, until the PY 2024 audit report has been filed and any related follow-up issues resolved. Can I get a second?
I will second that motion.
Any further discussion? All right, seeing none, we can go ahead and take a vote. So the motion on the table is to defer a decision on whether to continue or cancel the Wind Recovery PY 2025 contract as of March 31st, 2025, until the PY 2024 audit report has been filed and any related follow-up issues resolved. Could I get a roll call?
Chris Miner.
Yes.
Tony Nichols.
Yes.
Joe Omosagie.
Yes.
Elaine Plencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Emily Rodriguez?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
John Paul Joachim?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes. All right, thank you very much. And I just want to say for the agency representatives for those three organizations, when your audit is turned in, we will invite you back to the meeting so that we can ask questions at that point, since that's when we'll be making these considerations. So the remaining items that we have for this evening are for the two agencies whose audits were late but have been turned in, and these are Champaign County Christian Health Center and First Followers. So we could do a combined motion for these, but since these audits are in and there may have been, you know, some issues resolved, some not, we can have more of a conversation on that, because I guess we could technically defer until the issues are resolved, but we can't defer on until they come in because the audits are in. So I guess starting with general discussion, is there any particular direction board members are wanting to go?
I'd just like a little more information on the resolution of things. How far out is that?
So do you have a question for Lynn about the current state of the audit resolution process for each? Okay.
So we've had the First Followers audit for probably since late last week. Was it Friday, maybe? And we have made a lot of progress. There are still a few things we're working on, but I would consider the follow-up so close to done that it's done. With Christian Health, we received it yesterday. I took a look. Chris Wilson and I have requested some additional information that's required under the contract, but the CPA had not prepared it. I don't know how long it will take for them to get that one. So that we're in progress with the follow-up for that one.
That's enough information?
Yes.
Okay. Any preliminary thoughts from board members? Chris, are you wanting to speak?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Sorry.
Not much to say. I just think with these organizations, we probably can go ahead with discussing the 26 funding since we have, you know, most of the information in it. You know, it's probably going to be good. I'm not sure everybody else sits on that. Just figured I'd throw that part out there.
Thank you very much. I think for me, the thing is that both of these agencies' audits were late. They did just happen to have them in by the time of this meeting. So I think what this is creating is a situation where kind of race to the finish, whichever audit comes in first, may have a better chance at funding or keeping their contract. But at the end of the day, these agencies were still had 9 months to complete this audit and did not do so in time, which is something to consider. Go ahead.
To kind of speak to that point, because, you know, again, I have a reputation of being very black and white and you know, late is late. But I think we've got a twofold thing here. On one hand, we have to decide if we're going to release those withheld payments. And then as far as reviewing the application, part of me feels like we could review those applications because we're not making a decision tonight. But I do think the fact that they have been late and we've had a few issues, will that be part of my consideration on whether or not I feel like they should get the funding or the full funding? Yes. So.
And also to clarify, so Champaign County Christian Health Center does have a current application request that we could review. First Followers is a different situation because they're on a two-year contract, so we would be voting to either continue or cancel their current contract or defer, and then to restore slash continue their next year contract. So it's a slightly different situation. We do have the option to hear from those agencies if board members have specific questions for them. So if any of you do have questions for either agency, let me know and we can bring them up.
Since no one's talking, just real quick, because I happen to have to log off here, so I won't be able to vote. I just want to say that kind of like showing up for the meeting, finding a way to get that audit in before this meeting actually does show something to me, and it kind of was a race, and I think that is worth something to consider. But again, I'm not going to go down fighting over it, but that's just where my two cents. And on that, I'm going to log off. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Chris.
So, is it okay if I say something? So, I mean, all I would say is, you know, the application approval for the contracts is going to be May 28th. You know, these two agencies already got their audits in. I'm sure everything will be, you know, reported back from the staff by the next meeting. If we review applications at that time, we can consider and make our decision at that time. I don't think there's any rush to getting that information without getting the audit, the staff's information of the audit. So I think doing it all at once is fine. It was probably easier for me to know what to do. But I'm up to doing what other people want, or what everyone comes together and comes to agreement upon. But I think I would go with our first decision.
So defer on
defer on consideration until we get the staff's review of the audit.
Lynn, I know you made a little bit of a distinction between the current level of resolution with each one. I know you said First Followers seemed very pretty close to done, but I could see if that's not, I guess if it's still not fully resolved, we could do that deferral.
Well, the thing that's not done is the thing that usually takes a long time and doesn't stop any other contracts or payments. It's just figuring out whether any amount might be owed back related to total agency or program surplus. They're working on revising the schedule a little bit further to meet the requirements, but that could be done tomorrow. The piece that might not be done is us figuring out whether there's any amount owed back, but we haven't consequated that with anyone else. So I didn't know, like, we've also not been in this exact situation before. So that's where we're at. With Christian Health, I don't have enough information in the audit itself to do the follow-up because it was missing some of those required pieces.
And that's the one with the funding request outstanding, whereas First Followers has the contract continuation. So I guess, John, what I'm hearing from you is for Christian Health, you would want to defer on discussing the application until all the issues are resolved.
Yep.
I just turned off my microphone. Any more discussion on that before we have a motion? Yeah.
I do think it's challenging for the staff that applications and audits are just trickling in throughout the year, and that they get in a mindset and a mode in, you know, the beginning of the year and getting all of this, you know, filed and processed through. And so I do think that it's a struggle for them to continue to pick that back up, you know, month after month, trying to resolve the applications and the audits. And so I agree with Jane that, you know, we can consider all of the applications, but when it comes down to approving, it'll be the ones that, as long as we have funding, it'll be the ones that got it in on time that we'd consider, I think, as far as a priority. So that's how I feel about that. And I also recognize that the staff are working hard throughout the year and they're continuing to process this, and we appreciate their hard work continuing to process all the audits that are trickling in.
I completely agree. I also know that this creates a lot of extra work for the board and a lot of very difficult discussions and emotions, given that, like, how much time that we are spending digesting this information about why audits are late, what measures are being taken, that, like, this is a lot for both staff and board. With that, you know, we could also defer a decision on whether we want to continue First Followers PY 2026 side of their contract until it's fully resolved, because I think that question about if there may be money owed back might inform what kind of consideration we want to give the application. Well, no, sorry, but consider going forward with a second year of their contract. Thank you for reminding me.
So you mean we would then amend the contract, change the contract if we started it again, and we would change it for PY26?
Well, there's a possible motion to defer consideration of restoring or continuing until the audit issues are resolved.
I mean, from my perspective, it doesn't seem like that's necessary, you know. And from my history with First Followers, I don't think there's going to be any large discrepancy when we follow up with the audit. So unless there was red flags or concerns in the past or now, I don't think I would suspend payments or hold payments until the staff have fully reviewed the audit and gone through any discrepancies in funding. That's my perspective, at least.
Well, I think we're discussing two different things, which is, this one is more complicated, because we could decide to continue the first half of their contract and release the January, February, March payments, and then release the other ones until the end of the program year when the issues are completely resolved. But we could defer consideration on doing the second part of the contract until we know about because there have been times when they have had to pay us money back. But that's not a hill I want to die on either.
I mean, I think if they do owe us money back and they don't have the funding to pay us back, that would be consideration for future funding in the future. I'm fine with making a mistake and approving the funding at this point. In the worst case scenario of them having a terrible audit, owing us a ton of money back, not being able to pay that money back, and then not funding them in the future. I'm okay with just approving the funding and going down that path if that's the worst case scenario right now.
So approving them both continuing their contract and both for right now and into next year?
Yeah.
And that is to release the funds, so now are we looking to, because we've withheld what, January, February, March, are we?
Would we only release them once the full issues are resolved, though? Or?
We've gotten through the major issues, so we normally, I mean, this is not, none of this is normal. Sorry. I don't want to say this is how it has to be, but typically would release the payments at this point. Because what's remaining to do is, we've done it before. We know the course we're on. All of the issues that were raised are answered. So Does that make sense? So it's just January, February, March that we've been holding, and then if you all choose to continue their contract, we would also release the April payments for them. But everybody's May payments get held because of our cash flow issue while we're waiting for the first tax distribution, and now I'm going to mute myself and stop talking.
I guess since we are discussing both, we're discussing multiple things right now with Christian Health, would we take the same approach since their audit is in, or would we want to defer consideration of whether to continue or cancel because those issues are not resolved?
I mean, it seems like I would defer to staff on their judgment on whether or not any large discrepancies that could be possible have been resolved on the audit. Given that it seems like there's not enough information to make that decision, I would still hold payments at this time.
So would that mean to continue the contracts but then withhold the payment until the issue is resolved?
Correct.
Is there anything that board members want to know from these two agencies before we vote? I would like to ask one question of each agency, and that is all. Before voting. So why don't we start with Christian Health and then we can have first followers. I will keep it brief. Thank you very much. So we are considering to go ahead and continue your contract and then defer consideration of your future application until the issues are resolved. But I am concerned because it was a large number of months to complete the audit. This is technically, this is in violation of our requirements, and this has been a historical issue, not just for this agency, but for many agencies. And I am concerned that if we, go ahead and continue the contract, that this will continue to happen. So I'm wondering what steps are going to be taken to ensure that this is the last audit that's late.
Thank you for having me today. Jeff Trask, Champaign County Christian Health Center. We provide free health care for uninsured, underinsured, and folks who lack access to care, mental, medical, and dental care. I also like to thank the staff for being very helpful throughout the process. For us, this is our first time doing an audit. We had a financial review previous year. The company that was doing our financial review either didn't want to take us on because we did grow and didn't want to have that. They quoted us an astronomical quote for the audit. So we went on a search for another firm to do it. And after some deep searching, I found a company out of Chicago, actually, that actually does audits for the City of Champaign and City of Urbana. And so we managed to connect with them. And so obviously we're not their biggest client. So it's been, pulling teeth, trying to make sure that we stay on top of them, doing the next step. But I think we're pretty much in good shape right now. We plan on using them in the future. So I think, and they have our information for this year. So I think in future years we'll be in good shape.
All right. Thank you very much. And do any other board members have questions? All right. Thank you. With that, let's go ahead and vote on Christian Health. Two motions. So what I'm hearing from the board is I move to continue the Champaign County Christian Health Center PY 2025 contract, withholding payments until the PY 2024 audit is submitted and any follow-up issues resolved. Can I get a second?
A second.
Any further discussion? All right, seeing none, the motion on the table is to continue the Champaign County Christian Health Center PY 2025 contract withholding payments until the PY 2024 audit is submitted and any follow-up issues resolved. Can I get a roll call?
Tony Nichols?
Yes.
Joe Omoasagie?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Emily Rodriguez?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
John Paul Joachim?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes. All right, and then the second motion for Champaign County Christian Health is to, I move to defer consideration of the Champaign County Christian Health Center PY 2026 funding request until any related PY 2024 audit follow-up issues are resolved. Can I get a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All right, seeing none, the motion on the table is to defer consideration of the Champaign County Christian Health Center PY 2026 funding request until the PY 2024 audit report has been filed and any related, because we've amended this motion slightly. The motion on the table is to defer consideration of the Champaign County Christian Health Center PY 2026 funding request until any related PY 2024 audit report follow-up issues are resolved. Can I get a roll call?
John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Chris Miner. Oh, sorry, he left. Tony Nichols.
Yes.
Joe Omoasagie.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Emily Rodriguez?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes. All right, thank you very much. So now I'd like to invite representative from First Followers to come up so that I can ask a question, and any other board members may as well. Hi there, thank you very much for being here. So I'm trying to remember exactly how I worded my last question, but it's the same one. So we appreciate that the audit has been turned in and that most of the issues have been resolved. However, the audit had 9 months to be completed and still was late past our grace period, which is against our contract rules. And this has happened in the past. So my question is, what are you going to do to make sure that this is the last late audit that you have?
Good evening. Thank you all for having me. Marlon Mitchell, Executive Director of First Followers. So essentially, you know, the last couple of years, a lot of the ARPA funds have flowed through, you know, the county, the city of Champaign-Urbana. And one of the things that we've done, we've grown exponentially. And so one of the things that has happened is that we were required to do a single audit, right? So with that single audit, there's a lot more back and forth with our auditor about, you know, different details and things like that from the federal grant side of things. So there's been a lot of communication back and forth that has slowed down that process. We've gotten a little better at that. And then also, we as an organization, we use a third-party accountant, and so she's just part-time. And so we don't have anybody that's working full-time on staff that does that. We do have a bookkeeper, but it's just coordinating those, that process of working with the auditor. And we've had some contentious moments with our auditor because of the timing on the responses that we've given. And it's so much, in fact, that we're starting to look at other auditors. We have a couple conversations or meetings next week scheduled with a different auditor, two different auditors. So we're hoping to simplify the process a little bit more. Hopefully we can find an auditor that's a little bit sympathetic, that understands our mission, and then also works and communicates with us in an efficient manner. So those are some of the things that we've been experiencing.
All right. Thank you very much. Any other questions from board members?
I'll make a statement that I am thankful that you recognize you're having some problems with your auditor and you're seeking out a possible alternative. So I appreciate you looking ahead and saying, we ain't going to play this game no more. So thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from board members or comments? All right, seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Joachim, would you help me out with these last motions? Anybody else?
Sorry. It seems like we're all in agreement to restore or continue the first followers PY 25 and 26 contracts. I guess it'd be the first one, since it basically the audit is in, you know.
I did make a mistake.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Trying to think how to word this differently. So I'll move for a motion to continue the first followers PY 2025-2026 contracts. And release the PY 2024 payments. I guess that would be it because. PY 25 payments. Not yeah. You're right. So given the PY 24 audit has been turned in. Go ahead.
That could be interpreted as pay out the rest of the contract.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? Release the PY25 payments would be January through June.
Oh, through June.
Yeah, right. So maybe if there's a different way to say it.
I can wordsmith it now, I think, now that we know the direction. Unless, John, do you want to?
May I?
Go ahead.
If the contract is restored or continued, we're going to release the payments when they come up. So this would be about motion to continue. The first one is fine, except that we have the audit. So this would be, right? I mean, maybe I don't understand what y'all want to do, but
yeah,
motion to
continue,
right?
Yeah.
Like the only difference is that we're
you
just,
have it and you're just going to release the payments that have been withheld.
Like maybe next week or like maybe whenever the schedule is done or whenever payments are done on Friday.
So the first one should be
Monday.
Fine then.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I'll move for a motion. To continue the first followers PY 2025-2026 contracts withholding payments until the PY 2024 audit is submitted and any follow-up issues resolved.
All right, I will second that. Just a point of clarification, since this is a two-year contract, do we actually need to do the second set of motions with like restore or continue things? No?
I mean, you and I were really deep into it, so maybe we were right to do that, but I don't remember. I mean, I don't think it's necessary since it is a two-year contract.
It might have been where if we had canceled the current one but then decided to do something with the next year,
that
was an unlikely scenario, but.
I bet you're right.
So we probably don't need to make a second motion.
No. Because it's plural.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry.
Yes, it is plural. That is great. All right. Any final discussion on this matter? All right. The motion on the table is to continue the first followers PY 2025-2026 contracts withholding payments until the PY 2024 audit issues are resolved. Can I have a roll call?
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Tony Nichols.
Yes.
Joe Omoasagie.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Kyle Patterson.
Yes.
Emily Rodriguez.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes. All right. The motion passes, and I forgot to say that for all the other ones, but they did pass. So that concludes this item on the agenda. So we can now move on, but I'm giving myself an internal round of applause and the rest of us because that was a lot and we did it. We did the thing. All right. So the next item of new business is review of applications for PY 2026 funding, which is there's a list of the current requests on page 60 of the packet, and then the actual program summaries were in the prior packet. So the packet includes, the draft staff reviews are in that prior packet. And so this evening, though, because we've deferred consideration of the contract or the funding requests whose audits are either outstanding or still pending resolution, I believe that means the only requests we will be looking at this evening are the two requests from RACES. Lynn, go ahead.
So following on the actions that you've just taken, we will next time, whenever it's time to review the other requests, we won't make you bring the separate packet. We'll include the program summary with inside the packet. Okay.
That is great.
I felt a little weird about making you bring two packets today. So.
All right. Well, we will continue our wonderful application review process from our last study session by having one Leon Bryson be our kickoff person for each one. So, Leon, are you ready?
I think so. It's been a long time. First one up is RACES. RACES is applying for funding for the program Sexual Trauma Therapy Services, which is a continuation of a current program. The amount requested is greater than the most recent funding amount. The program existed for several years, and when federal funding decreased, the MHB began to fund it as well. For this funding request, the applicant selected Healing from Interpersonal Violence and justified that choice. It also describes how it aligns with strengthening the behavioral health workforce. The proposed services are survivor-centered individual, family, and group therapy, include CBT, EMDR, and ART-based therapy, also crisis intervention and advocacy services. In the staff review, you will see that there are no compliance or eligibility concerns. Particular strengths of the program are the treatment models, especially because EMDR is not widely available, and the effort to formalize a referral process with other organizations without violating patient privacy. And a staff comment of possible interest is regarding the CLC plan. The board reviewers were Chris Miner and Jane Sprandel.
So it is the Jane show, since Chris is teaching a class or something currently. So again, RACES is an agency that we have worked with for a very long time. A few things that stuck out to me in this application, besides what Mr. Leon here has shared, is RACES has also worked to increase compensation for their staff, and that was something we discussed last meeting about how oftentimes some of these caseworkers and social workers are not getting close to the going rate of what some of their peers are. And it was saying that in 2024, rape crisis workers in Illinois made an average of 33% less than other social service professionals. And again, I think all of these jobs are hard, but I can't imagine spending time in an ER with a lady or a man who has been assaulted, because you can't just walk away from that and act like you didn't see or hear anything. Gives me goosebumps. So far in this year, they're already exceeding some of their numbers that they did all of 2024. Yes, they did ask for an increase, but I also feel like when your needs are increasing, you're going to have more manpower and money for that. So again, a solid application. We haven't had any issues really in the past with them. So I feel pretty supportive of this application by RACES.
Thank you very much. Opening up to board discussion and or questions for the agency.
I guess the only question I have is there any hope in sight that funding would ever come back for this?
Do we want to have the agency representative come forward and answer?
I mean, I already kind of know the answer, I guess. It's a sad answer, but yeah. So, I mean, I think all of us want to fund this. So I don't think there's any concerns that any of us have with this program.
I guess I would like to go ahead and ask that question. It's not probably going to change my decision as to the importance of the program, but I am curious about what the current situation is.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Jaya Colsetti. My pronouns are she, her, and hers, and I'm the executive director at RACES. I appreciate the opportunity to be back in front of you all, and I wish it was to say, we don't need your money anymore. Certainly, when we saw that huge cut in Victims of Crime Act funding 2 years ago, our hope was that there would be a restoration of those funds. The initial issue was that funds that were supposed to go into a crime or a victim services fund at the federal level were diverted to the Treasury instead. There has been legislation at the federal level to make it so that can't happen again, but we're still feeling the ripple effect of that initial reduction. So there is an expectation of a further 43% cut in Victims of Crime Act funding. Other federal funding, there's a big question mark around as well. It's really important to us to be able to continue to serve all survivors, regardless of administration. So I wish I could say, yes, I feel confident that funding will come back, but we really don't know. And we, you know, this kind of relates to our other application too, that we really don't know what's going to happen with some of our prevention funding because it passes through the CDC, and that department that administers those funds is one of the ones that has been gutted. I will say that it is certainly something we're really mindful about, that these funds should be the funds of last resort. I know I had meaningful conversations with Lynn and Leon of, as we've been allowed to, because we do get into issues of supplanting, right, if we try to use funds for something that the Mental Health Board has already agreed to fund. But if there are times because of staff vacancy, it's been our process to say, we're not going to try to reallocate those funds. We want it to go back to the county. So we do try to be good stewards of the funds that are made available to us, and certainly are always looking for other opportunities because, you know, this is a lifeline for so many agencies in our community. But I don't have any expectations of federal funding going up in the near future. And American Rescue Plan Act funding that we were receiving, of course, is also expiring.
Thank you very much. And that is absolutely a shame that that is happening. I do appreciate the work you've done to secure other funding, even in this landscape of federal funding being harder and harder to access. I also just wanted to comment that I appreciate the evidence-based programming that you all do and the what you use for your assessments as well. And I was also very impressed by the CLC plan, as Leanne had mentioned, especially like the specific oppression, sort of anti-oppression training that you're doing, and the focus on lived experience. Having worked with sexual assault survivors myself through most of my career, it's really hard for somebody to decide that they want to like do this work and be open about the fact that they're a survivor doing this work, and the fact that your agency has cultivated a space where survivors feel comfortable being a part of things really speaks a lot for the work that you all do.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions from the board? All right, seeing none, we can move on to the next one, which is also from RACES.
I guess you could stay put. RACES is applying for funding for the program Sexual Violence Prevention Education, which is a continuation of a long-standing program. The amount requested is greater than the most recent funding amount. For this funding request, the applicant selected healing from interpersonal violence and justified that choice. It also mentions alignment with priorities for safety and crisis stabilization and strengthening the behavioral health workforce. The proposed services are age-appropriate educational programs to prevent sexual violence. In the staff review, you will see that there are no compliance or eligibility concerns, and the sessions reach a large number of people in schools in Champaign, Urbana, and rural areas. A particular strength of this agency is input from people with lived experience. And a staff comment of possible interest is regarding the CLC plan. The board reviewers were Elaine Palencia and Emily Rodriguez.
I believe I've been drafted to go first. Yep, so a few, again, I'm revisiting notes that I made a bit ago. As far as the selected priority, to me, it seemed like it was more violence prevention. So maybe this an added benefit or something that flavors the way that we consider it. But other than that, I appreciated considering, I guess, the landscape of everything that we fund, that this really fills a unique niche. And it gets kids when they're young. And it works through big ideas that they need to know to become great adults. So love this program. Happy to discuss.
Well, I, of course, agree with everything that's been said about races. I really like the specificity of this application and the way we saw that at different ages, there are different named programs, and it's just so necessary. I too noticed that the way the numbers have gone up. I just had one other question. I noticed that you have written collaborative agreements with Parkland and then police in Rantoul and Tolono and Thomasboro, but not with Champaign and Urbana? What's that about?
That is a timing issue. We send out networking agreements every year, and it has been a very busy year for us, so we're just waiting on some to come back. We got them sent out a little bit later. For Urbana, there's a little bit of an extra step, too, because I have a conflict of interest because I sit on Urbana City Council, so our board president has to send that one out. So we have strong working relationships with both of those police departments. We're actually scheduling some training with Champaign's police department, hopefully for next month. But it's just a timing issue, and we're reviewing, like, do we really need to send them every year? Because it does end up being that we don't get to include a full list of our partners in our applications pretty frequently, because it takes people a while to get back to us, or we get bogged down, and then it takes us a while to get them out.
Well, just so.
Yes, I appreciate that question. We work closely with all of our police departments.
Thank you.
Okay. As appropriate for survivors.
I don't have any other questions or comments.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
So I just see that for PY24, the vast majority of people served were in Urbana, and then looks like for PY25 so far it's been Champaign. I know the location of the organization requesting the prevention program is usually what probably decides who you're serving. Do you try to make an effort, though, if someone hasn't requested you guys to come out, like, say, Rantoul or Muhammad or somewhere that you haven't hit in the last year, that you contact them to follow up and say, hey, we haven't seen you. Do you guys want us to come and do something?
Yes, we generally speaking send out letters to all of the schools in our four county area, to offer our services, and then it's kind of first come, first serve. We, you know, in large part because of the mental health board, are able to maintain 3 full-time prevention educators. Prevention work is incredibly difficult to fund. So aside from the mental health board and some state general revenue funding, it really is just one grant through the federal government that we're allowed, you know, we're able to use for prevention programming. So we're always looking for ways to increase capacity. But our spots do fill up really quickly because it's 3 people who, of course, prioritize Champaign County. We hold the majority of their time for Champaign County, but we do our best to hit school, not hit, to reach schools in our other three counties as well. And so sometimes it's just a, you know, who responds first. But we do, especially if we've had maybe a gap, like we've been working with the school, haven't heard from anybody, we'll reach out just to see, like, has the contact changed? Was there a concern? There have been times where, you know, I've talked to school administrators because they'll get caught up on things like we address the root causes of sexual violence. So we do talk about the way gender stereotypes play into risk factors for sexual violence perpetration. And so there have been times too where schools don't want us to come in, especially in this current climate, because we use the term gender. But yes, we do our best to try to make sure we're reaching as many schools as we can. But we also do want to make sure that the schools that have existing relationships with us continue to see us, because we do offer that programming K through 12, right? So the goal is for that programming to always be building. And that's part of the reason we do the multi-session programming, right? Like one-time programs don't work. There's a lot of evidence that shows that. And so making sure, you know, if someone heard this message in kindergarten, that they're still getting that repetition year over year after year is what makes it more effective. But there are three people.
Thank you.
I have, I guess, question/comment, and I'm not sure what's going to come out first. And now it's just totally slipped out of my brain. Okay. So I recall from my years in this work that there is a law, is there still a law that requires K through 12 sexual violence prevention training for in the schools, but that it is basically an unfunded mandate?
Both of those things are correct. So it's called Erin's Law. It's named after Erin Marin, who is a survivor of child sexual abuse and has made it her mission to get that legislation passed in as many states as possible. But she's actually from Illinois. So I think there's a lot of pride in this state to be doing the work in her name.
I also noted in the application that, like, you know, as it would make sense, you don't give the same exact training to all these different age groups. These are all age appropriate and have different discussion focus. And some of these programs seem to be like very well, widely researched evidence-based programs, and others seem to be more locally grown, tailored to the community because presumably some of those other kinds of programs don't exist yet and don't have that evidence yet. I think John asked my other question. So just again, very positive programming. And I do want to highlight the way that the programs that you're seeking funding for work together, because a lot of times when individuals are in a prevention program, it may be the first time that they recognize that they have experienced sexual violence, and having these trained educators who also can do crisis intervention to help bring them into services and help support them in that moment is really important. And my understanding is that's something that happens with your programs.
Absolutely. All of our staff receive the 40-hour crisis intervention training, as do our volunteers. And so making sure we have that confidentiality in the schools as we're working with youth is really important, so that they know that they have not just the trusted adults in their school that we're helping them identify, but also know that there are resources outside of the school that are there to support them.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board? All right, seeing none, thank you very much. And so with that, the remaining applications that we have are all ones we've deferred consideration on, so we can move forward from this part of the meeting. Thank you to all who reviewed the applications and for all those who presented. So next, we are going to be moving into some stuff that is usually earlier in the agenda, but we moved for this evening to make sure that discussion could happen earlier. So the next item is to approve the CCMHB board meeting minutes, which are on pages 61 through 64. Action is requested to approve the minutes of the CCMHB's March 19th, 2025 meeting. So any discussion about the minutes, any corrections, or any motions?
I will make a motion to approve the minutes from the March 19th, 2025 meeting as presented.
Second.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the CCMHB board meeting minutes from March 19th, 2025 as presented, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The minutes are approved. Next, we will move to the vendor invoice list on pages 65 through 77. Action is requested to accept the vendor invoice list and place them on file. And for information, are additional details for these expenditures. Any discussion or motions?
I move to approve.
Second.
All right. Any final discussion? All right. All those in favor of approving the vendor invoice list and placing them on, or accepting the vendor invoice list and placing them on file, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The vendor invoice lists are accepted and placed on file. Next, we will move to staff reports, and these have been deferred due to the review of requests for funding, and I'd just like to take a moment to acknowledge the staff for their incredible work on this, and that is continuing to happen. And a special thanks to Leon Bryson for his wonderful, wonderful work with the presentation of the applications. So next we will move to old business, and this next item is the evaluation capacity building project update. So an oral update will be provided by someone from the project team. Is that person on Zoom? All right, go ahead and take it away.
It's so nice to be here and listen to all the good work going on. I'll keep it quick. We have finalized the contract and we sent our annual report out for review today, and we are going to keep doing the work that we've been doing.
Perfect. Any questions or comments from the board? Well, thank you for your great work, and we are looking forward to seeing the future updates of the progress. So thank you very much for being here.
Nice evening.
So we will next move on to community behavioral health needs assessment activities, which has also been deferred. So the next item would be Disability Resource Expo update, and it says deferred, but it sounds like maybe it's not deferred.
I sometimes feel like I'm the negative Nelly. But anyway, so we are prepping for Disability Expo 2025, which will be held, I believe, October 18th at Marketplace Mall again. So there's been lots of conversation over the years that I have served on this committee that we need more steering committee people, we need more chairs, we need more. So a nice survey was sent out. Do you still want to be on a committee? What committee do you want to be on? A handful of people responded back. So then they sent out a second one. Hey, in case you missed the first one, fill it out. And I think just a couple more responded. And then they sent out, here's the steering committee chairs and co-chairs. And somehow I am the chair of three things. And I don't recall saying I would do three things. But so if anyone would like to, you know, dip their toe into helping out some with the Disability Expo planning, you know, we're looking at, I'm recruiting people for the entertainment committee. Marketing is what I did volunteer for. Getting more exhibitors, sponsorships. Right now, accessibility is pretty full. Welcoming team is pretty full. But if anyone has any interest, or even better, if you know someone who's interested in getting involved, possibly a student or someone who's wanting a little bit of experience, you know, that would be great. You know, and obviously, you know, we'll be recruiting volunteers closer to the date if you'd like to help us on that day. But yeah, so we're hoping we can, you know, some different perspectives and bring something new and exciting to an already great expo.
Thank you very much for your work on this, and I hope that you are not stuck being the chair of that many things. I think I may have someone to send your way, so that is awesome. All right. Well, we will next move to the Alliance for Inclusion and Respect update. So it says the update is deferred, but we do have some items on pictures on pages 78 through 85. And we did have the anti-stigma film and art show at Ebert Fest last weekend. So I guess I would like Lynn maybe to share a tiny thing about it.
I just wanted you all to see the pictures.
Yeah. The pictures are amazing.
Okay. I had some coffee earlier in this meeting, so I could go on. My favorite part of it is the art show, and the artists really felt appreciated this year. And for the first time ever, I thought, what if I gave the filmmakers gifts that the artists made? I don't know why it took me 15 years to think of that, but it went over great. So the artists are sometimes they're just there to make some money, so they don't really care who got their gifts, but the filmmakers were really excited about it. So that felt nice. And the film was, I heard through the grapevine that someone who goes to the festival every year said this was the best festival in 10 years, and their favorite film was ours. Joe was there. I think maybe I should let you all talk about it. But I just really wanted you to see the art because I was very excited about some of this. And, you know, I think it feels really good for these artists to be noticed, appreciated, and to make money. And so, anyway.
Thank you.
And if I can add, I don't know if anyone had seen any of the social media posts. Our one and only Lynn has kind of taken that on to help with the social media aspect of that. And I thought she had some very nice posts to promote the event and our artists.
Any other comments or questions from the board? Especially from anyone who was attending or participating in some way. All right, well, we can go ahead and move on to our public participation agency input portion. So as earlier, we invite anyone to speak with us. We can't respond, but we could use the input to inform future actions. And you can either approach the podium or raise your hand or put something in the chat on Zoom. I may limit time to 5 minutes or total 20 minutes. So with that, is there anyone who would like to speak with the board? All right. Well, seeing none, we will next move to board-to-board reports. As always, board members can be a liaison to agency boards and other mental health-related boards within the community. And there's a list of options on page 86. If anyone's wanting to get involved with that, you can reach out to Stephanie Howard Gallo about getting involved. So is there anyone who has a board-to-board report to share? All right, seeing none, next we will move to county board input. Ms. Rodriguez, do you have any input?
Not on this, just really excited. All county employees are going to get 12 weeks paid parental leave. Woohoo! Plus raise, plus bonus. Yeah, we're excited.
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty big piece of news to celebrate, so thank you for your work on that. I guess you're the only one who can make county board input, and that was your input. So no, I guess, any thoughts from the board on anything you want to comment on with that? Congratulations. All right. Next, we will move on to Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board input. Lynn, is there any input? There is no input. So next, we will move to board announcements and input, which could mean really anything. So are there any announcements or input? All All right. With that, then the last thing we can do is adjourn. Our next meeting will be next study session will be May 21st, 2025, here in the Shields Carter Room of the Brookings Administrative Building in Urbana, and at 5:45 p.m. And we will be discussing funding allocations from the applications that we have reviewed, and we may be I guess that's the because we won't have any new business at that.
But you could, there's a chance that you could, three of the ones, or any of them, you could end up reviewing those at the study session on May 21st, depending on the timing. So I've got some hope.
Yeah, we can't vote on anything at that meeting, but we could potentially be reviewing some of the applications that have been deferred. So Lynn and I will talk more about what that process will look like and let you all know. So again, May 21st is the next study session, and we are now adjourned. Have a good night.
Recording stopped.